You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Psalm 31 today, as you turn to Psalm 31, in about another week or so, you'll receive an insert in the bulletin. It's your Thanksgiving list. You don't need to fill it out and give it back to me, but I want you all to take time to write your blessings down for 2025. What God has done in your life. You're alive. And these beautiful flowers here are from Brother Mario Galvan. His family's in the Spanish ministry today. He's 49. He passed away last Saturday, and we had his funeral this week. Packed house. Just a packed house. Preached the Word of God. We had many saved. And Brother Josiah preached in Spanish, and then I spoke in English, and people interpreted it. It was just a great service. We have no idea when the next death angel is going to call. I had a text this morning, said, Brother Jack, pastor in Pennsylvania, said, Brother Leonard Saunders, Leonard was my roommate. He said he passed away yesterday, a preacher up in Michigan. And you know, you just never know when your last breath you're going to draw. Live for God. I know you all have problems. Everybody, the whole world has problems. But count your blessings. Brother Luke and I were just sort of visiting. He goes, this is a great church. Amen. And I tell you, I've enjoyed being in church today. Amen. I've just enjoyed it. Amen. Thank God for all. There's an army of Brazilians over here. Just, my goodness, the Brazilians are great people. And we have all these different nationalities. And it's a great church because of that. I appreciate you. In a moment, we're going to stand together. We're going to read Psalm 31, verses 1 through 12. 1 through 12. Brother Luke Flood, I'm going to have you come and read the scripture for us today, if you will. So we're in Psalm 31. You read the odd number verses, and the membership will read the even number verses to verse 12. Psalm 31, let's stand together. Let's read together, Brother Flood.
I'll read the odd number verses if you read the even. Psalm 31, verse number 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for I am house of defense.
For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord.
I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly.
For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed.
I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear of mine acquaintance that they did see me without fled from me.
Prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for the scripture. This psalm has been such a blessing in my life this week. I pray that it would be a blessing to the people of God. I pray for those who are unsaved. They know not Christ. May this be the day, please, dear God, save that man, save that woman, save that teenager that's lost today, that's never been born again. Bring conviction. I pray that God would be helped, and this would be in the repertoire of our heart, this message. For the days will come when trouble will strike, and when it strikes, may we draw from this text. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like you to look with me, if you will, to our text verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mine. I am like a broken vessel. If you've never experienced being broken, you will in life. Every person in this room has experienced being broken. I don't know if it was last week, last month, last year, the last 2 years, 3 years, but everybody has breaking points in their life. Everybody. No one's exempt.
Yes, sir.
This pastor's not exempt from it. You're not exempt from it. Every person comes to a brokenness where the vessel is useless. A vessel can only be used if it's whole. But when there's a crack in it, I opened up a 24-pack of water this week, and I did it with a knife. And when I did it with a knife, everybody followed that plastic, you know how they carry it. I followed it all the way down, and I got one bottle out. And at the very bottom, I just nicked it, just barely nicked it. And I had more water coming out of that little stream at the bottom. So I went like this, and it stopped. But I had to stop once in a while to breathe, you know. And that vessel was no good to me. I had to drink and drink and drink as fast as I could. Finally, I dumped the rest of it out. I said, I hope I didn't hit another one. It's useless when it's broken. The child of God, we all get broken. I don't like the brokenness of life. I don't like it when I receive these phone calls that literally shatter my heart. And you get those phone calls. My wife's dear brother, a pastor, 70 years of age, he's suffering so badly now, younger than her, with cancer. Just so sad to see that young boy suffering, losing so much weight with cancer. It's so sad to get phone calls of my husband is in the special care. They moved him to San Jose now. He's in a care unit for dementia. He doesn't, Pastor, could you go visit him? I'm going to see him this week. He said, can you go visit? He doesn't remember anything, but he remembers you. I haven't been his pastor for 30 years, but he talks about you. And he talks about North Valley. I'm going to go see him this week. I hope he'll remember me. You know, I get calls all every day of my life that break my heart. There's not a day goes by that there's not some brokenness. And you're going to experience brokenness in your life. God uses broken things. But God has to have a work in your heart. If you've not experienced a brokenness, you will. What broke his heart? His enemies did. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4. Pull me out of the net they have laid privily, secretly for me. Thou art my strength. David said, these people are laying a net for my feet. They're trying to entrap me. Look what he says in verse number 11, please. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. And a fear to my acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. All his enemies were fleeing from him. All his neighbors were fleeing from him. All of his acquaintance was fleeing from him. Sometimes you feel all alone in life, don't you? Amen. You feel like there's no one that understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him, and you'll know him by the nail print in his hand. We've all been there. If you're saved, you've been there. I look at my life. I feel like I'm probably the most loved pastor in America. You people love me. You love my wife. You love our ministry. You love this church. And I'm so grateful. But for everyone that loves us, we have some folks that don't love us. And sometimes they feel like it's their responsibility to tell me. They just feel like that's my responsibility. It happens all the time. It happens at funerals. It happens at funerals. It happens at weddings. Some correction all the time. Something you did wrong. Something that you're not doing right in your church. You know, it just happens all the time. And here, but what the Bible says in verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. They took counsel together against me to devise and take away my life. They want to see me dead. I can't believe that these news media outlets and people have praised the death of Charlie Kirk. I can't believe they voted in on the East Coast someone this last week that they discovered she put online two bullets, and these are for the children of the lady that's running against me. They voted her in. I can't believe we voted in the largest city in America, a communist, to be the mayor of the city. Do you understand that communism and socialism are twin sisters? They say no ownership. Say, well, it's all level the field. We're all level. That doesn't work. You cannot show me a country where it's worked. People can't own property. People get, they have riches, and so we have to give more. That's not Bible. That's not the Word of God. But we got rid of the Bible in our public schools, and that's the problem today, Brother Mark. Public school got rid of the Bible, got rid of prayer, and we put chain links up and police on our campus. Your own enemies speak against you. I say that right now, that communism, someone's not going to like it in this room this morning. The Bible says that his own friends were against him. Not only his friends, but himself. His enemies and his friends were against him, but himself. Look what he says in verse 10. My life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. David is the king. He writes this. David was Israel's very best king. God said he was a man after his heart. But David, in weakness, sinned against God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. His lust, his flesh got away from him. How sad it was. David wrote Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this iniquity in my heart. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David was so broken, and here in this text, he's broken over his sin. I like what God's word says. He without sin, let him cast the first stone. You know, I'm not here to examine the sins of these men's lives. And they're not here to examine the sins of my life. I've got to take care of Jack. I have the world's best father. My father, I'd come to my dad and I'd tattle on my sister Judy. Rarely. She's with the Lord. She was great. I tattled on my sister Jill. She's in Florida. She may be watching right now. Now, Jill had problems in life. We're twins. Jack and Jill, it's really cute when you're young, but when you get to be 110 years old, it's 110, it's not funny anymore. Jill was such a sweet girl. Judy was a sweet girl. And I'd come and tell on them to my dad. My dad would say, son, keep your own yard clean. Don't worry about your sister's. Amen. That's not the answer I wanted. But that's the answer he gave me. I'd come and I'd tell on someone else, well, so-and-so, my cousin, so-and-so. He goes, son, don't worry about your cousin. Don't worry about your friends. You take care of you. Good. David was so inflicted with this sin in his heart that he said, I'm a broken vessel. You know, I think of how that Judas, he betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of how David committed sin with Bathsheba. I think today of how Absalom rose up and he's going to try to kill his own dad. And Ahithophel said, let me kill him. I think of today in the Bible how that Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were with Paul, and yet they began to teach false doctrine. I think of Demas in the Bible. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was on the missionary trail with the Apostle Paul. He went with him to Colossae. He was preaching at Colossae about 100 miles from Ephesus and preaching the Word of God, and great things were happening. He was at that revival meeting on the missionary journey of Paul. You get to Paul's end of his life when he's about ready to die. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Demas hath forsaken me. How hard that must have been. To have a trusted co-worker with you. I have 75 employees right now that work with me. They're all great. I won't replace any of them. I've had in 50 years here a lot of employees. 39 men that sat right there. Don't sit there, sit over there, okay? You go ahead and move real quickly, okay? 39 men that sat right here are out pastoring churches today. So you're not going to go pastor another church. You just moved. So you know that I have had a lot of staff members through the years. Most of them love me. They send me texts. They send me cards. They send me emails. They stay in touch with me. They'll call. But there are a few that hate me. I think of one family. His children were educated here, all the way from youngest to the eldest, and went to our college here, and he and his wife were so involved. And they left here and left bitter and said, I don't want to be on the North Valley. They want you on your, and many of you are on their mailing list, but they don't want anything from North Valley Baptist Church, Golden State Baptist College. I don't want to hear a thing from you ever again. How in the world could that happen? How in the world could anybody? I think of a young lady that was so faithful in church, and she lives in a distant state now with her husband. They don't even go to church. They don't even go to church. I think of a couple in our church, and they were so integral part, lived close to the church, and so integral, and he confessed something to her. She had done worse to him in her marriage, morally, than he did to her. And she couldn't get over it. And she said, I'd sit with her years ago. I'd sit with her. I said, what are you talking about? You did worse than your husband has done. You actually did this sin. He just thought about it, and you're mad at him? You're going to leave him? She just wanted out. You know, I've met that man for the last 30 years around America. I think of when I go, and he stayed here for years and moved away. I preach, and he's in that church. Running the sound, busy for God. Oh, she's off with all these different men. They divorced. Then he left there and he went up to another state, and I was at that church there preaching, and there he is in the sound room. He's retired now. He's in there. He's been alone all these 30 some years. You know, if we're not careful, we allow experiences like that to break us. God's word says, David said, I'm like a broken man. What do you do when you break? Number one, you learn to trust God. Look at verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let's read verse number 6. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. I have hated them that regarded lying vanities, but I... God wants us to trust in him. How about verse 14? But I... How about verse 19? Let me read it for you. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Trust is confidence in God. Your enemies... they betray you. Your neighbors betray you. Your own sinful nature betrays you. But you can always trust Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him more. Man will fail you every time. I'm quitting church because man failed me. Well, man's going to fail you every time. I'll fail you. Everybody fails. But Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. What do you do when you're broken? Trust in God. What do you do, secondly, when you, well, you realize that my times are in thy hand. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand, O Lord. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them persecute me. I've told you this before. My dad had a stroke. I'll never forget it. And a staff member was visiting that night, said, I think you need to come. Your dad had a stroke this morning. I believe he's got a stroke and he's nighttime now. He refuses to go to the hospital. I went and saw him. I said, Dad, let's go. And we went to Good Samaritan Hospital and they put him in and he had a stroke. That night, late in the night, he's in the bed, drawn on one side of his face. My mother's on this side. They brought her to the hospital after we discovered. And mother's on this side, and I'm on this side. We're holding hands over my dad's chest. I knew she'd be a basket case. I knew she would just be all upset. And I said, Mom, I know you're upset. She goes, Son, I'm not upset. Your dad read to me this morning Psalm 31, where we're at 31:15. My times are in thy hand. God's never made a mistake, son. She brought such courage to my heart, such compassion to my heart. He recovered from that. Then he went into cancer, and then he recovered from that. And then he died at age 93 as an old man. He'd be 102 now if you're still alive. You know, you can always trust God.
Yes, amen.
And you can always believe that your life is in God's hand. Thirdly, and I'm done. Thirdly, you can always know that God gives hope. Look what he says in verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope,
amen.
Hope in the Lord. Hope means to be put confidence.
Amen.
I was singing yesterday and I sang it this morning. I looked it up and all, I have three shelves of books on music, song books. I got so many song books. And I looked them up from song books 100 years. I couldn't find this little chorus. But I began to sing yesterday and today, especially, only to be what he wants me to be. We used to sing this in high school. Every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay. That's what God wants you to be today. In the potter's hand,
amen.
Ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be. God wants you to be what he wants you to be. He'll take your broken life, your broken vessel, he'll mend it again. You say, but my wife left me. I know, and I hurt for you, but the sun will shine again. But my husband left. My husband's in prison, a lifetime sentence. I know, but God's going to take care of you. You can trust God. You can always trust God.
Amen.
You can't trust this church. You can't trust this pastor. You can't trust one another, but you can trust his word.
Amen.
I was praying this week. I said, Lord, I've been here a long, long time, and I love what I'm doing. I love it more today than ever. God, let me never disappoint these people. Don't let me ever disappoint these people. Don't let me ever have to hurt them. Keep me from sin and keep me from self and keep me from wrong. The potter saw a vessel that was broken by the wind and the rain, and he sought with so much compassion to make them over again. Oh, I was that vessel that no one thought was good. I cried, Lord, thou art the potter and I am the clay. Make me over again today. God has taken my broken vessel so many times and he's mended it. God can take your broken heart today, your shattered dreams, and He can mend your heart. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, this morning, we thank You for the brokenness that we experience in life. Our friends turn against us. Our neighbors turn against us. Our enemies turn against us. Our self turns against us. Our sin turns against us. Oh, we have so much. And David said, I'm like a broken vessel, just broken. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many folks here in this room with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, between you and me, how many say, Pastor, I'm here as a broken vessel today. There's something in my heart. Would you slip your hand up? Hands are going up everywhere, everywhere. God bless you. In the balcony, thank you, Lord. God bless you. Put them down. Lord, you know those hands. I don't know what they're broken about, but they're broken. Mend their broken heart that only God you can. Let the sun shine again. I pray that God, they would believe you, trust you, have hope in you, have confidence in you.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.